الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected علماء كرام, elders and brothers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had revealed approximately 104 scriptures from the era of Hazrat Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam right till Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala revealed 104 scriptures for the guidance of mankind. And approximately 124,000 anbiya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the surface of this earth. If we could just live our lives how we wanted to live it, we could just decide what we wanted to decide, we could just formulate the mindset we wanted to formulate, there would have been no reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending so many kitabs and so many anbiya alayhimu salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Abiyya alayhimu salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with miracles so that the people would see these miracles and they would understand that this is a person sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different Anbiya were blessed with different miracles, and generally the miracle was given according to the norm of the time. What was the dictates of that time? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam came in a time when magic was rife. Magicians, magic, that was the order of the day. The person who was a greater magician, he was more honored and more respected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the miracles that he blessed to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, one was the asa, the staff of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And the other was the yade bayza, where Hazrat Musa alayhi salam would put his hand below his arms and he would remove it and it would be white and shining like the sun. So when he went to Fir'aun and he showed him those miracles, so Fir'aun immediately said, this is magic. This is a feat of magic. And we will get the other magicians to overpower you. We will hold a contest in the open and we will get the best of magicians, the greatest of magicians, and they will overpower you, they will defeat you in magic. So the books of Tafsir mention, Fir'aun brought thousands of magicians. And They ask Fir'aun, what's there in for us? Remember the people of Batil, that's the first thing they will ask. What's there in for us? أَإِنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا. What we gonna make out of this whole thing? That's already one criteria for you to make out the difference between Haq and Batil. Batil will always be after materialistic things. Anbiya, on the contrary, the first thing they told the people, لا أسألكم, we don't want anything, please. Don't pay us no money. We don't want no remuneration. We don't want nothing. We just came to convey the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll take care of us. So this is what they asked Fir'aun, and eventually he held this contest. And the Quran Sharif mentions this incident several times, it repeats it. Where thousands of magicians are together. And then they also have brought ropes and they have brought sticks. And they cast their ropes and sticks. And they mesmerize the minds of the people. It's looking like snakes that are running. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says they frightened the people. وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. This was a very great stunt of magic that they had brought. A very powerful type of magic. And initially Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, naturally, he also felt a bit worried that what's going to happen now, because I've got the miracle and they have brought magic, it looks like the same thing. وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِيَ الصَّحْ. Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, لا تخف. You don't be worried. You don't be afraid. You throw down your staff. And here, the stick of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam turns into this huge serpent. And it goes and it eats up all the other magicians, all their ropes and all their sticks. And it comes back. And the magicians themselves, they are dumbfounded. What is this? We have never seen any magic like this in our whole lives. We are so great in this field of magic and so experienced. And they could not control themselves, but they had to fall in sajda immediately. Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen. Amanna bi Rabbi Musa. We also bringing iman in the Rabb of Musa and Harun alayhi as-salam. Fir'aun then threatened them and he told them, I will kill you and I will set you as an example. I will cut your right hand and your left leg. I will do all this. I will hang you up. But they said, you can do whatever you want to do now. Whatever you want to do, you can do. لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقْدِ مَا أَنْدَ. Do what you, we're not going to give you preference now. We have seen the truth. We have seen the light. We have understood that this is the haq. And we are prepared to undergo any sacrifice, any difficulty. And remember, a person who's got iman in his heart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with true iman. Who knows how strong our iman is? Who knows when the test comes, what will be our condition? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with true iman, and when that nur of iman settles in his heart, then he will not leave that iman for anything on the surface of this earth. Anything, no matter what trial you put him through, what difficulty. Pious people of the past, they were cut with saws in halves. That's how they were cut. They were thrown into pits of fire. There's a pit of fire. You are being thrown. Every child of yours is being thrown. It's fine. Throw us. Throw our children. It's fine. We'll die. What's there? We're going to Jannah. It's just a little bit difficulty. Then we're going to Jannah. That was how determined they were. That was the power of iman. And unfortunately now we find that iman is gone weak. Iman, outwardly maybe there's a lot of things. A lot of things that we have got. But the iman in the heart, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must always make dua. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman. Oh Allah, you make iman most beloved to us. So that when we are confronted with all these different fitnas, remember these fitnas will come in different forms. It will come in the forms of different sects. Every day the sun will rise, there'll be a new sect coming out. One sect telling you one thing, another sect, everyone coming and quoting to you Quran and Hadith, and you don't have the knowledge. So you will not be able to differentiate. So this was Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's time. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's time, that was the era of magic. That was the era of medicine. You had very, very powerful and very, very well experienced philosophers and doctors at that time, that they could treat different ailments, different sicknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Hazrat Isa alayhi salam with the miracle that he can just pass his hand over a person that is born blind and his sight is restored. The philosophers of the time, the doctors of the time, they had no cure for this type of sickness. A person that is got leprosy or is suffering with the white skin, his skin is born like that. All the skin has changed color and the doctors have got no treatment for this. And here he will just pass his hand over the person and immediately, instantly, the person is cured. وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Hazrat Isa alayhi salam made it very clear when he told the people, all this I'm doing with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not me. I am not claiming to be a deity. I am not claiming to be someone that you have to worship. He never ever told people that must worship me. That is what afterwards now people had concocted all of that. So a person that is dead, and he will pass his hand over and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the dead man. So the people of that time, they understood that this is no ordinary doctor. This is not some philosopher or some scientist, but this is really a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then came the era of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the era of poetic language, poetry. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the greatest poets of that time, the most eloquent people, bring something like this Quran Sharif. They couldn't bring it. Second challenge, bring 10 surahs like this Quran Sharif, equivalent to the Quran in beauty, equivalent to the Quran in eloquence, equivalent to the Quran in the dynamic message of the Quran. They couldn't do that. Then the third challenge, bring one surah, one short surah, 3 verses. Just bring something like that. That too, they could not take up the challenge. And someone who even attempted to take up the challenge, he made himself a laughing stock. Because what he had compiled, people started laughing at him to say, what you are saying and what the Quran Sharif is saying, you are nowhere near the Quran Sharif. So this was the greatest of poets of that time. When they heard the Quran, they said, this is not poetry. Then they said, no, this is magic. The magician said, this is not magic. They said, this is fortune telling. They said, this is not fortune telling. This is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the living miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miracle continues. Because the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to continue till this day and time. Ask people who convert non-Muslims, what is the most effective way to convert a non-Muslim to Islam? You read some ayats of the Quran Sharif. They hear the beautiful recitation of the Quran Sharif and it shakes their hearts. It creates an impact within them. They understand that there's something about this. There's some nur in this. There's some light in this that they have never heard before. And this is a means of so many, till this day and time, so many non-Muslims coming into Islam to the barakat of the Quran Sharif. Qari Abdul Basit Sahib, someone asked him once, that did you see any miracle of the Quran? He says, you know, I saw so many miracles, but let me just tell you of something that happened recently, not very long ago. Says that one of the ministers from Egypt, he told me that he is going to Russia. You know, Russia at the time was communist, atheist. And he wanted me to accompany him. And when they're having the meeting with all the officials, the governmental officials, I must read the Quran. He says that was one time when I wasn't actually eager and keen to go and read the Quran. Any other time you told me to go and read the Quran in any other forum, any other place, I was happy to read. I'm thinking, what am I going to read in front of these people? These people are communists. These people are atheists.
They don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Quran am I going to read to them?
But he says, I went and I started reading Surah Taha. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa.
This was also the catalyst for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala coming into Islam.
The hadith, one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the 1,000 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited Surah Taha and Surah Yasin.
The farishtas were so taken aback by the recitation of the Quran. They said, Tuba li ummatin yunzalu hadha alayha.
How fortunate is that ummah who will receive this Quran?
Tuba li ajwafin tahmilu hadha. How fortunate are those hearts who will preserve this Quran? Tuba li alsinatin tatakallamu bihadha.
How fortunate are those tongues who will recite the Quran Sharif.
Did you ever think about it? The Quran Sharif, there's no other book in the world like the Quran. Which book, if you touch it, you get sawab. If you look into it, you get sawab. If you kiss it, you get sawab. If you read it, you get sawab. If you listen to it, you get sawab. If you teach it, you get sawab. If you learn it, you get sawab. If you ponder over it, you get sawab. If you practice on it, you get sawab. Which other book on the surface of this earth is like the Quran Sharif? So this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the Quran. Qari Abdul Basit says, when I came to the ayat, innani ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. That first wahi that Allah ta'ala sent to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when Allah said, innani ana Allah, I am Allah, la ilaha illa ana, there's no other deity. Jesus cannot be God. Idols cannot be God. No other religion can be true. No other religion can be acceptable. I am the only deity. Fa'budni, worship me alone. Wa aqimi salata li dhikri, establish salat to remember me.
He says, I looked up and I looked in that congregation and I found those atheists, they were in tears also too.
They don't know why they are crying. They ask them, what's happening to y'all? Y'all don't believe in Allah. You don't believe in the Quran. Why you are crying?
We cannot explain the reason for this. There's something happening within us.
There's something happening within our hearts. We know this is the kalam of Allah. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends, the Quran Sharif has got barakah. The Quran has got nur. The Quran has got rahmat. The Quran has got sakina. What you want in your life, everything is in the Quran.
Two people related their own incidents to me. I heard it directly from them. And I heard about many other people, but not directly.
Two people went to two different psychiatrists suffering with depression. You know, depression is a very common problem now.
Allah protect us all. Allah protect our families from this depression. It can become very, very difficult for people. Two different non-Muslim psychiatrists, one Christian, one Hindu female, telling their patients, we can only treat you to a certain extent. Our medication can only help you to a certain extent. Go and open your holy book and read it. Read it verse after verse, line after line. Ponder over the message and see what happens to you. See how you will get relief. See how you will get... Those people are feeling so embarrassed. One man is telling me, I am feeling so embarrassed that a Hindu lady has to tell me to read Quran Sharif. I am going to her for help. I am going for treatment because I feel now there's no other way out for me. I got to go to the psychiatrist. And she's telling me, the man told me, I went home that day. I started reading Quran. It was difficult for me. I read first few lines. But after I read a few pages, I just started feeling lighter and lighter and lighter. And alhamdulillah, that depression just disappeared.
That this depression went away with all the medication in the world. The man's depression couldn't come right. Yeah, he started reading Quran Sharif. I'm not saying that you mustn't take medication if you need to take medication. But I'm showing you how have we forgotten about the Quran. If you got any sickness, remember some mashayikh say, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَشْفِ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَا شِفَاءَ لَهُ. That person who doesn't seek shifa through the Quran Sharif, then there's no shifa for him. You can go find shifa wherever you want to find shifa. True shifa lies in the Quran. Time does not now permit for us to go into the details. But you get a personality like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He writes that once I was in Makkah Mukarramah and I got very sick. And I had no access to any doctor. Those days now you had the Hakims, whatever. Maybe they weren't the doctors that we have now. But I had no access to any medication. So he says, I took Zamzam water. And I started reading Surah Fatiha. And when I came to Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, I repeated it a few times. And I blew in the water. And I drank that water. And alhamdulillah, I continued doing that. And shortly after that, Allah gave me shifa. And he says, on numerous occasions in my life when I got sick, this is what I did. I took Zamzam water, I recited Surah Fatiha, I blew on the water, and I drank the water. And to the barakat of Suratul Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me shifa. But respected friends, you need to read with yaqeen. You need to read with conviction. In India, the British rule. See, most of us here, we don't know anything about our history. And that's one of our biggest problems. We don't study our history. What history we study is a very biased, one-sided version of history. They'll only tell you certain things that they want to tell you. But history is the greatest teacher. Why I'm saying this? This is not off my topic. But this is something, that's why we get carried away by this kuffar. Why? We're blown away with their culture. Everything of theirs intrigues us. Their culture, their ways, their mannerisms. Do you know what oppression the British did in India when they came to India? Do you know what oppression they did? 300,000 Quran Sharifs they burnt. 300,000. Now they'll come to you. No, no, we must live peacefully. There must be harmony. We must have understanding. Who needs to learn understanding when you all are killing the Muslims in the whole world? What you're coming to tell us about that? You're telling the wrong people. Go and tell your own people that. Go tell your own army. Go tell your own soldiers. Teach them. What is humanity? They have no humanity. They are even worse than animals, unfortunately. They are like shayateen, these people. You're seeing it all the time. But we got blinkers on our eyes. We still will get carried away with these people, whether it is the color, the complexion that they have got, the fair complexion, or whether it's the twang in the tongue. What is it that blows us away? That we've become blinded of history to see what these people did. Over 50,000 ulama they made shaheed. Over 50,000. They wanted to destroy Islam. They knew that the only threat, the only power that can stand up to them is Islam. And that is not your modern Islam. That is the traditional Islam. If you look in the history, it was always the traditional Islam. The old scholars that stood up to the fitnas of the time. Look at Taliban 20 years now. They kicked America out, the superpower. Go and see what happened. Who was Taliban? They were same Maulvis with turbans sitting on the floor and eating. Go and see how they live. Go look at the homes they live in now. Go to Afghanistan and go look at the Taliban. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Sahaba. They were not modern people. They didn't come there with some degrees or some qualifications and they're telling you of what they know. These were people, they dedicated their lives to the Quran and Sunnah. What Allah said, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's all we need to know. We don't need to know anything more than that. The superpowers of their time, we're happy for them, they can be superpowers, but they're not superpowers to us. They're not our role models. So this was Indian condition. Anyway, the incident I want to mention now, in Delhi, one Christian priest, he goes there somewhere near the Jama Masjid, you know, that's like a hub for the Muslims. Till now, if you go to Delhi, near the Jama Masjid, you'll find all the Muslims are there. So he tells them, see, he goes with the Bible. He tells them, see, you people, you all say the Quran Sharif is the true book, and the Bible is false. But we Christians, we say the Bible is the true book. So let's now, I want to now throw a challenge out to you. Let's light a fire and you throw the Quran in and I'll throw the Bible in and let's see which book gets burnt. What those people did now. See, intelligent people. This is now, Allah Ta'ala protect us. We've lost our intellect. They went to Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi. When you're in a predicament, look for the senior pious ulama. Who are the pious people? Allah walas. Who gave their life to deen. You'll see it in their namaz, you'll see it in their simplicity, you'll see it in their adherence to sunnah, you'll see it in their adherence to shariat. You don't need to have a PhD to understand this. They went to Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi Ram. Shah Sahab, this is what this man is doing. He's swaying people away. I am throwing a challenge to you. Bring the Quran, throw it in the fire. I'll throw the Bible in the fire. Let's see which gets burnt. Shah Abdul Aziz comes straight away. Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Ali tells him, okay, we will not throw our holy book in the fire. We will not stoop so low. We got respect in our hearts. You know the Quran? We got respect. Quran Sharif, you can't put it on the floor. Quran Sharif, you can't just treat it anyhow. Hold the Quran with love. Put a juzdan on the Quran. Keep the Quran in a high place. That's what makes us different from the kuffar. They will just leave their book on the floor. They got no respect for the book. Unfortunately, we are going in that line also now. We're losing our respect for the Quran Sharif. So he told that pope or that priest, let's do this here. I will hold the Quran in my chest. You hold the Bible on your chest. Let's both of us jump in the fire and let's see who comes out alive. Let's do this here. When he said that, that man was shocked. He never expected that response. Allah Ta'ala blesses. Remember, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, His awliya and His friends, He'll guide them. While the rest of the world will all be misguided, the rest of the world will all be confused. They'll be running after blind people, like we are doing now, running after blind people, looking for some direction, when we got the solution to the problems of the world in the Quran Sharif. So that person told him, Shah Sahab, really you're a very intelligent man. You have caught me out. Actually, I put some chemicals on this Bible. And my plan was to throw the Bible in the fire, and because it's got some chemicals, it wasn't going to burn. And I knew you are going to bring your ordinary Quran, you don't have these chemicals. But you have caught me out now. And now I am acknowledging that what you are saying is the haq. And your Quran is the true Quran. And I make all these people my witness. I'm accepting Islam right here. I'm accepting Islam. This is the power of the Quran. Shah Sahab had so much of conviction that if I have the Quran, I'm not going to get burnt. This is the barakat of the Quran Sharif. You know, so many natural catastrophes happen. You'll find places, fires. Till now, you'll go to places. You'll go to houses. They'll take you, Maulana, there was a fire here. Let me show you. This whole house, everything burnt. One shelf of the Quran never got burnt. One shelf. You can see it now with your own eyes. This is first-hand information you will get. People will show you. This is what happened. Look at how this Quran Sharif was preserved. This Quran Sharif was protected. So respected friends, this Quran Sharif has got the solution to the problems of the world. What you looking for? You want barakat? Quran Sharif got barakat. You want hidayat? The Quran Sharif got hidayat. You want shifa? Quran Sharif got shifa. You want tranquility? Quran Sharif got tranquility. What do you want? Allah has kept it there for you in the Quran. But read it with that yaqeen. Read it with conviction. Read it with love. Read it with concentration. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is everything. This is the words of my Allah. It needs to be more beloved than everything else. If you go and study the history of Maldives, many people go to Maldives for holiday. Maldives now is almost entirely Muslim. The whole island are Muslim. How did Maldives come into Islam? It was around the 12th century. They were Buddhist, these people, Buddhist. Got big statues and idols and what have you. So it is mentioned that there was some shaitan or jinnat that was coming and attacking the island. So to protect themselves from the shaitan, the jinnat, once a month, they will select a young girl, they will leave her in a temple that was situated somewhere on the shore of the island, the seashore. And in the morning they will come, they'll find that girl is lying dead. So there was some sort of a boat or something that would come with lights in it. Those were some jinnat or shaitans that are coming. So there was one Buzurg that visited the island, Abul Barakat Barbari Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So he came there, and the people of the island, they were the hospitable people. They were not Muslims, but someone had, they kept him in their home. So they kept him there, and they entertained him. But he sees one day, the people of the house are very sad. Very sad. What's the problem? Why you people are so sad? He said, no. This month now, they had some way that they would select the girl, draw lots, whatever. Our daughter has been selected. That she is going to now be used for this ritual. And they're going to take her, and it's a known thing. They're going to take her, they're going to leave her there in that temple. And whatever is going to happen during the course of the night, and the morning, this girl will be dead. So we're going to lose this girl. So I said, no, Seer, you all don't need to do all this here. Let me go in her place. Just disguise me. You don't have to tell anyone anything. Just disguise me, whatever, wrap some cloths or whatever around me. Make it seem like you all are putting your... They said, no, but you're going to endanger... He said, see, just listen to what I'm telling you. But we're going to get into trouble. No, just listen to what I'm telling you. Do this here. So they took this chance. So they left this Buzurg here in this temple. He started reading Quran Sharif loudly. He took his Quran out. He is reading Quran loudly. This boat now comes close with the lights. And this jinnat or shaitans realize that the Quran Sharif is being recited. You know what Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi said? Mawlana Rumi was the master of illustrations. He said, you know, Musa alayhi salam, he threw his asa down. When he threw his staff down, it ate up all the other forms of batil, all the other magic of the magicians. He said, the Quran Sharif is like the staff of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. You read the Quran and all the batil will vanish after that. You just read the Quran Sharif, all the magicians, all the magic, whatever, to the barakat of the Quran, it will all vanish, it will all be destroyed. So yeah, this boat just goes away. Next morning, becomes the talk of the town. This was, alhamdulillah, those people, their daughter was saved. Nothing happened to the daughter. And the people are talking about it. It reaches the king of the island. So the king says, who's this man? Bring him. When he heard the entire story, and he was convinced, then he accepted Islam, and that entire island, everyone accepted Islam. Everyone accepted Islam. Maldives Island, go and do your own research and see what was the reason. Now some people will say, now this is a tale and whatever, but this is a true story. Ibn Battuta, rahimahullah, has also recorded the story, because in his book of travels, he said when he came to Maldives Island, this was the story, the people there related to him, this is how they came into Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this beautiful Quran Sharif. There's a narration of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, where he speaks about the home wherein the Quran Sharif is recited. Innal bayta alladhi yutla fihi kitabullah ittasa bi ahli. One is that home becomes very, very spacious now. It becomes very comfortable. You know, people are not comfortable in their own homes. People are waiting to run out of their own homes. When the holiday is coming now, I can be gone. So that house becomes very comfortable. When the Quran Sharif is being recited, وَكَثُرَ خَيْرُ, lot of good comes into that house. وَحَضَرَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the farishtas also, they start coming. وَخَرَجَتْ مِنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the shayateen, they leave, they're gone. So all the bad luck, all the bala, all the negativity, all the jinnat, all the jadu is leaving the house. Why? Because Quran Sharif is being recited. But when the home, Quran Sharif is not recited, now it becomes very constrained, very narrow. Always fights, arguments, negativity. House is very, very uncomfortable. Man is waiting to run out. Hey, Maulana, can't just wait to run out of their house. Just wait to go to work the next morning. Very little good coming out of that house. And وَحَدَرَتُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, shaitans are all, they are all flocking there. وَخَرَجَتْ مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels are coming out, because there's no Quran Sharif recited in that house. Now we just take a survey of our... See, the British now, they thought by how they're going to destroy Islam, they thought they'll burn Quran Sharifs. They use one trick. They burn 300,000 Qurans, they couldn't destroy Islam. Islam is still in India, alhamdulillah. Shortly after that, Darul Uloom Deoband was then constructed, and that was a means of then preparing ulama to go in different parts. This part of the world also, all offshoots of Darul Uloom Deoband. Go to different parts of the world, you'll see graduates of Darul Uloom Deoband, or either madrasas that were affiliated to Deoband, offshoot madrasas, graduates coming out from these madrasas and going and spreading the message of deen. So now, they've changed the... They've used a different strategy. Now they gave us the smartphones. They fooled us, they bluffed us. There's the smartphone for you. You got the smartphone, you can do everything. Now we just take a survey of our own selves. We don't need to think about anyone else. How much of time we spend on our smartphone and how much of time we spend reading the Quran Sharif? They use a different trick now. We'll tempt these people. Remember, these people are tricksters. They masters in tricks. They are the masters of deception. They will deceive us without us even knowing they deceived us. So they have thrown all these different gadgets in front of us. And unfortunately, we have been deceived with this. The person sleeps with the phone, he'll wake up with the phone. In fact, many people are addicted to the phone. So now, for him to actually leave the phone, he might need to go and get some professional help. Because how people are addicted to drugs, people are addicted to alcohol, we have become addicted to the smartphone. And that is taking up so much of our time. So that's why we don't have time to read Quran Sharif. One young alim, he should read a lot of Quran Sharif. And eventually he got carried away with the smartphone. Then he sees that his recitation of the Quran Sharif had decreased drastically. Where the man was making one khatam a day sometimes, 15, 20 paras a day, now he's battling to read 3, 4 paras. Now he's thinking, what happened? Then he realizes phone. So he says, let me just keep the phone away for some time. Alhamdulillah, he kept the phone away. If a person needs to use a phone, keep it as a necessity. That necessity, office hours, whatever time you need to use it, after that you leave it. Where there's necessity, then a necessity, you can attend to it. But where there's no necessity, so alhamdulillah, he then got back into the habit of reading Quran Sharif, and again he started finishing one khatam a day. He left the phone one side, and alhamdulillah, through the barakat of that now, the man is reading one khatam of Quran Sharif a day. So respected friends, these people now, they have really deceived us, and they have taken us away from our objective in life. They have taken us away from the masjid. They have taken us away from our deen. They have taken us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have taken us away from the Quran Sharif. This is a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see these jalsas happening, and we see these youngsters graduating, this wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. Allah ta'ala in the Quran Sharif says, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ. Now you must rejoice. You know, so many times you'll see in the jalsa of Quran Sharif, you'll actually see parents shedding tears of joy. You'll see it. You'll see the happiness. This happiness you cannot get anywhere else. Your child can become a rocket scientist also. He can get all the degrees. He can get a PhD. He can get everything. But the barakat of the Quran is something else. The nur of the Quran Sharif is something else. So Allah Ta'ala Himself is saying, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ. This you must rejoice for. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he finishes Suratul Baqarah. He slaughters a camel to feed the people. Suratul Baqarah, not the whole Quran. But he slaughters a camel, feeds the people. This is really a happy occasion. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa khairu mimma yajma'un." Whatever else they're accumulating, all the wealth in the world, all the education, whatever they have got, this is far better than all of that. This is the Quran Sharif. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's selection. I don't choose, you don't choose, Allah chooses. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fazl. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You know, some people, they did everything for their children to become hafiz. They spent all the money in the world, the wealthiest of people. It never happened. It never materialized. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they will be rewarded for the effort, definitely. They will be rewarded for their intention. But I'm showing you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give His fazl to who He wishes. Allah ta'ala is not looking at your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at the color of your skin. Allah ta'ala is not looking at what language you talk. Sometimes you go into some of these African countries, you'll hear what beautiful Quran Sharif these children are reading. You never heard anything like that. Allah ta'ala will give it to whomsoever He wishes. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. So this is definitely a joyous occasion. It is a happy occasion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a happy occasion for these children, for their parents, for their families, not only in this dunya, even in the akhirat also. This happiness must continue. It must continue because the Quran Sharif needs to continue. Remember now that the child is a hafiz. Don't neglect him. What happens often as parents, we think to ourselves, now my child has got the Quran. Shaitan is still after that child. You know the thief, where the thief goes. The thief won't go to an empty house. He is looking for where the treasure is, that's where the thief is going. The shaitan is not going to leave this child. The shaitan is not going to leave me and you. Shaitan is going to be there on our backs all the time. Don't forget about shaitan. Now we have to concentrate on these children. We have to make sure that they preserve the Quran. They protect the Quran. They love the Quran. They practice on the Quran. The Quran has to become the day and night. This is the reason why we learned the Quran. Remember, Quran is for you and Allah. It's not for you to take the podium. Sometimes people graduate, they think, now hey, I will one day, you know, go on the stage and I'll read in front of the house. No, that's not the Quran. Quran is for you to wake up in the middle of the night and read it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is listening when you're reading the Quran. You're reading to Allah. Who else you want to listen? Which other audience do you want? Which audience can give you anything that Allah can give you? No, Allah is going to give you that reward. This reward is by Allah. Read for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba, it was a common practice. Sahaba waking up in the middle of the night, they're reading Quran Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's reading softly. He passes by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu reading loudly. Abu Bakr says, Allah can hear me, I'm reading softly. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, I'm chasing the shaitan away. Uqizul wasanan. I'm waking the people up who are sleeping. They need to wake up now. It's tahajjud time, it's fajr time. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Umar radiallahu anhu, you lower your tone a little bit. And oh Abu Bakr, you raise your tone a little bit. He brings both to moderation. You read a little bit loud, you read a little bit soft. So this was Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, if you only seen last night when I was listening to you reading, Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu anhu is reading Quran Sharif in the night. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, oh Abu Musa Ashari, laqad utita mizmara min mazamiri Ali Dawood. You are given a beautiful voice, like the beautiful voice of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam should read the Quran in 70 different tunes. 70 tunes he had. Dawood alayhi salam would cry, everyone around him would cry. Even the animals and birds would come to listen to the recitation of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. In Jannat also, may Allah take us all to Jannat. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam will also read the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also read the Quran. Some ulama explain, Allah will read Surah Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve this iman within our hearts and take us to Jannat also. And make us be there among the people who will listen to the recitation of Allah. What ecstasy, what happiness people will enjoy at that time. We have got deceived by this dunya. Little bit we're seeing some scenes. Person is seeing some 5-star resort, some entertainment center. This is nothing. This is darkness. There's people that are going there too. They're just making this a superficial happiness. After a little while they're realizing nothing. Many of them even going and committing suicide also. They're going to all these places. If there was true happiness in this, why are they going and committing suicide? Think to yourself, if this is happiness. No, real happiness is when Allah puts that sweetness of iman in our heart. Real happiness is when you wake up in the middle of the night and you read Quran Sharif to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go in sajda and you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is real happiness. That is true happiness. That is ecstasy. That even the monarchs don't have it. So respected friends, this Quran Sharif, we have to preserve it. We have to protect it. Maulana Imran Sahab requested me to speak a little bit about our ustads, alhamdulillah, both of us. We are fortunate to study under great luminaries. Hafiz Dawood Makhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. In fact, the reality is, had it not been through Hafiz Dawood Sahib, we would have not even been here, perhaps. We don't know where we would have been. But it was Hafiz Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, such fikr and concern he had. He would not even give you no chutti in that madrasa. Even Sunday too, you must come. Holiday too, you must come. Maybe you come, eat your sabak, and then he let you go. But he was so passionate of the Quran Sharif. Not 1 cent fees. He never asked at any time for anyone. In fact, he'll pay you to come and read the Quran Sharif. And when he saw someone had a bit of potential, then he would send them to Freehead. By Mona Ismail Katrada Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. And because he knew now, we were living in Overport. You know, Overport is a place that's a very fast-moving place. A lot of things happening here in Overport. So he realizes, child here, sitting here, all these distractions. Let me send him to the farm in Freehead. Then you will see the results. Alhamdulillah, to the barakat of all these efforts, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to graduate. Otherwise, where were we worthy of this year? We're never fit of anything of this. Allah's fazl, Allah's grace, it is the du'as of these pious people, they tawajju, they concern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the Quran Sharif. Until now, alhamdulillah, there are ustads that are working. Even Hafiz Sahib, alhamdulillah, Hafiz Yusuf Sahib, Hafiz Sahib's son, till now he's teaching Quran Sharif. Maulana Maqtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, alhamdulillah, how many people are studying by Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Maqtar Sahib, Damat, but how many people are changing their lives, how many people are learning Quran, they are spreading. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve these personalities. May Allah protect them. May Allah give them the highest stages in this dunya and in the akhirat, and those who have passed on, may Allah fill their qabrs with nur. Respected friends, they were true lovers of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katada Sahib, rahmatullahi, every morning, tahajjud, 5 paras of Quran. Maulana was like in his late 70s, once when he stood and he gave a bayan, but you won't even think Maulana is in his late 70s. That is how much of vigor he had in him. How much of bravery. You know, so many incidents we had witnessed. Maulana was like a fearless man. He will never be frightened for anything. He will never get frightened. Today we get so frightened, everything. So frightened. So much of fear we have. Barakat of the Quran Sharif. 5 paras of Quran in tahajjud every morning. This should be our role models. We need to wake up tahajjud time and read the Quran. This is going to bring Allah's rahmat. Aina rijalul layl. Where are the men of the night? Where are the people that were waking up in the middle of the night and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no rijalul layl. There's too many bayans. We're hearing a lot of programs. Everything is happening. How many people are waking up in the middle of the night, reading Quran Sharif, crying to Allah? This is going to bring the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is going to bring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our brothers in Palestine, in Syria, in Yemen, wherever they are, wherever our brothers are suffering, the Muslims are suffering throughout the world. It is the barakat of amal, good deeds, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Maulana Ismail Katada Sahib rahmatullahi, parting advice, just before he's passing away, last few moments of his life, last few minutes of his life, don't ever leave the Quran Sharif. Don't ever neglect the Quran. Hold firm onto the Quran Sharif. That was a time when the world was blown away with COVID, when people were worried, people were like frightened, people were hiding. Maulana doesn't talk anything about COVID. He speaks about holding firm onto the Quran Sharif. Hold firm onto the Quran Sharif. Study the Quran, learn the Quran, recite the Quran Sharif, love the Quran. Remember, it's never too late to recite the Quran. As old as you are, you can still learn how to recite the Quran Sharif. Learn it and read it with love. Read it with true respect, with the true honor of the Quran Sharif, with concentration, inshallah, to the barakat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us all. Allah will bless our children. Allah will bless our progenies. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Inshallah, now the Hufaz will recite the last ayats and do the completion.